Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
I'm going to minister on love tonight. When we think of love, we think 1 Corinthians 13, because that's considered the love chapter. That's what people call it. And so immediately, I don't know if you're like me, but if you're like me, when I think of 1 Corinthians 13, what I automatically think of first is, oh yeah, I got to work on that. That's my checklist, right? I mean, can anyone relate to that? That 1 Corinthians 13, you know, where it talks about, you know, love is patient, love is kind. We're going to get to that. You think, oh yeah, patient. I really need to work on that one, right? Or so you just think of this checklist of what God wants from us and what we need to work on to become better at. Are you like me? Do you kind of think that way, right? Well, there's a different way to think about that tonight. And that's it. We want to be set free. I believe the Spirit of God wants you to be set free from a works mentality. So first I want to say, we know that God is love. And in 1 John 4:8, it says that God is love. That's where you can find it. In 1 John 4:8, it says God is love. So just by being our God, is he your God tonight? Just by being our God, he is loving us. Because that's just who he is. And it's just what he does. He loves us. So tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, but we're going to look at it in the light of not necessarily what I need to do, but who God is to me. God is love. And so God is everything that 1 Corinthians talks about. That's what he is. That's who he is to me and to you. We don't have to strive and work at walking in love. We just need to abide in him who is love. So instead of trying to walk in love, has anybody ever tried to walk in love? Right. Yeah, man, I'm trying. So instead of trying to walk in love, just worship love, abide in love, abide in him, and then love's just going to flow out of you. So the key is not striving to walk in love. The key is simply staying connected to him above. Amen. Staying connected to him, abiding in him. Connected to the vine. What does that mean? I'm not getting far from him. I can't disconnect. He is my life. I can't disconnect from him. When I disconnect from him, I can't do anything. I can't bear any type of fruit. So we're going to go from a works mentality to a God is love to me reality. So in 1 Corinthians 13, it describes who God is to you, right? So like I said, usually we think 1 Corinthians 13, what is the first thing you think of? Like me, it was like, okay, this is I need to walk in love. So this is what we're going to do. So we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, but we just kind of broke it down. And so the first line you're going to see, that's always going to be the New King James Version, and underneath it is the Amplified, because we're going to be reading both. So the first one, love suffers long and is kind. In the Amplified, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. First thing I thought of was, well, I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Well, I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And then what happened? I ran to him. No, he waited. He waited until I would come to him. Love suffers long. And I believe that was suffering long because he so longs for us to come to him. He doesn't want us hurting and broken. And so it made me think of the scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then in verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that word without strength, that means in the Greek, I looked it up, it's pertaining to a state of helplessness in view of circumstances. When I was without strength, when I was in a state of complete helplessness, looking at all my circumstances, Christ died for me, and then he waited for me. Thank God he waited. Love waits. God knows you were worth the wait. Even in your pathetic, helpless state, you were worth the wait. He kept the faith. In Psalms 86, verse 15, in the English version, it says, "But you, O Lord, are merciful and loving God, always patient, always kind and faithful." Not most of the time, always. He is always patient, always kind and faithful. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it says, "But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them." Speaking of the children of Israel, he waited 40 years for those guys. Time and time and time again, his love waited. Praise God. So as you understand that this is who God is towards you, then you will be able to be this way towards others. We just need to receive his love. Just see his love. This is God's love to me. God was patient and kind to me. It's not like he's just expecting me to be that to others. That is how he is to me. He is patient to me. He is kind to me. And because of that, now I'm able to be patient with others and kind to others as I stay abiding in him. See, so it's not working like, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, I got to just see how much he loves me. I need to see his love, who he is to me, and then I'll just be that to you. I believe that's what a Christian is supposed to do. We're going to go on to the next one. It does not envy. Amplified, love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. The word envy, it's a painful awareness of another's possessions or advantages and desire to have them too. Man, what a horrible word. But it's so true in so many lives. We've all dealt with it. But it's yucky, amen? It's just yucky. That definition, I don't even want to read it again. But let's face it. So then I think of that. Well, God's not envious of me. It's like, well, duh. That would be pretty ridiculous if God would be envious of me. So God's love is not envious of me. Obviously, he's not envious of me or anyone to that degree. It sounds ridiculous, right? But see, God knows he's not lacking a thing. I mean, he knows he's God. You know, I mean, there's really not much to explain here. You know, obviously, God is not envious. So he's not threatened. I like this. God knows he's not lacking anything, so he's not threatened by anyone. You know, that'll help us when you go kind of start to go down envy road. You got to realize in the word what you've been told, who you are, whose you are, what you have, what you can do. All God is in you. You'll realize I'm not lacking anything. Or I'm not threatened by anyone. Isaiah 45:18 says, "I am the Lord and there is no other." Boy, sounds like he knows who he is. See, he said, "I'm the Lord, there is no other. There's no envy in me." I should say, "I am Gene, there is no other Gene." Thank God. But you know, don't try and be Gene. Be you, right? And really, when you think about it, a father doesn't envy his child, of course. How ridiculous does that sound, right? Doesn't his son's success is his success. He wants his son to be successful. God's looking to promote me. He's looking to bless me. He's looking to raise me. Glory to God. He made me in his image. So we're basically saying that God isn't jealous of anyone, right? However, in Exodus 34:14, it mentions that his name is jealous. In Deuteronomy 5:9, it mentions, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Wait a minute. Sounds like there's a contradiction here. He's saying he's a jealous God now? His name is jealous? What? And this is what it is. He is not jealous of me. He is jealous for me. He's not jealous of us. He's jealous for us. Amen. And that says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. It says, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. So there is a jealousy, and it's a godly jealousy. So as we understand that this is who God is towards us, we'll be able to be this way towards others. Amen? We're going to go on to the next one. We're just kind of touching a little bit on each of these. It doesn't parade itself. This love, God's love, does not parade itself. So that's how he loves me. He doesn't parade himself. In the Amplified, it says, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Ooh, sounds yucky. I want to bring out that word boastful. Definition, showing excessive pride and self-satisfaction in one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. That's what boastful means. And then I love this. In Isaiah 45:15, it refers to God. He says that he hides himself. Doesn't sound like a parade to me, does it? He hides himself. He's God, creator of the universe. And he hides himself. Psalm 113, verse 4 through 6 in the Amplified, it says, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who has his seat on high, who humbles himself to regard the heavens and the earth? He is set so high, but yet he humbles himself to look so low down on the earth. Amen. But I want to say here, though, it's interesting because it doesn't parade itself. But yet, Jesus had a parade. You remember the parade, the triumphant entry, right? Man, he threw himself a parade. I mean, he had. They were all saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But listen, he was doing that, and it was not in his own name, but in the name of, or on behalf of the Lord. Saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, not in and of myself. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. So I'm just showing you, because sometimes love looks like one thing and something doesn't look like love, but yet it's love. He was parading the honor and the glory of the Father. Another thing that love is not puffed up. Is that where we're up to right now? Okay, love is not puffed up in the Amplified. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. He's not puffed up against me. Glory to God, he raised me up to be seated with him. So he's not puffed up against me. He's raised up, and he brought me up there to sit with him. Praise God. In Ephesians 2:6, that's where it says it. And he raised us up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is God's love. This is who love is to you and me. This is who God is to us. This is how he loves us. He raises us up. He's not looking to push us down. He's looking to raise you up. Hebrews 2:11, it mentions there that he's not ashamed to call me brethren. He's not all conceited and thinking, just don't let him know that, you know, you're my sister or brother. No, he is not ashamed to call me brethren. Glory to God. Isaiah 57:15. I love this scripture. For thus says the high and lofty, not puffy. Thus says the high and puffy one. No. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. It's not puffed up. It's not conceited. It's not inflated with pride. That's not how God is to me, and that's not how I'll be to others. As his love flows through me, I love others with that love, and so do you. And as we understand that this is who God is to us, we'll be able to be this way to others. Praise God. Another one, does not behave rudely. Amplified, it is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Here's another one. And you know, remember I talked about this as sometimes before I kind of got this revelation of looking at 1 Corinthians 13 and saying, now this is how God loves me. I looked at it like, okay, this is how I have to love you all. But it makes it so much easier. When I look at 1 Corinthians 13, I think this is how God loves me. And I stay abiding in him. And then he flows, that love then just flows through me to others around. So it doesn't behave rudely. The word rude, in case you don't know what it means, speaking or behaving in a way that is not polite and is likely to offend or annoy people. No, God is gracious, which means courteous, kind, pleasant, thoughtful. There's Psalms, numerous Psalms that talks about how the Lord is merciful and gracious, and he's gracious and all merciful all over the place. So many scriptures and Psalms about that. But yet there were times that Jesus did seem rude. And immediately I think of what about the, goodness, basically he called a Canaanite woman a dog. We won't go there. We don't have time. But he basically called the woman a dog. Could you imagine if that, people would think, how rude. Jesus did that. Is Jesus rude? No. So something's up. What about the money changers in the temple? Man, he could have just said, hey, guys, will you please just pack it up and leave? Thank you so very much. Please, thank you. No, he went in there and he kicked those tables over and just ran them out. Look rude? Yeah. Was it rude? No. A lot of times people mistake and rebuke with being rude. People are too sensitive. I don't want that to be me. That was Jesus rebuking them, not being rude to them. And in Proverbs chapter 27:5, it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. So as we understand that this is how God is to us, how he loves us, it's going to help us be able to love other people that way too. Amen? The next one we're going to go to, doesn't seek its own. Love doesn't seek its own. And the Amplified, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Man, that's a mouthful. NIV, it doesn't demand its own way. Have you ever demanded your own way? Love doesn't demand its own way. Hey, listen, God doesn't demand his way, his own way. You think, well, sometimes it seems he does. Well, listen, God does not force or push people to do things his way. He commands them. He doesn't push them. He never pushed his will on us. Let's face it, God, the Bible says it's not God's will that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. Is everyone not perishing and everyone's coming to repentance? No. So that's telling me, well, he's not getting what he wants. That's why people are able to fail and even go to hell against God's will. And then I think of Jesus in the garden. You think, oh, well, Jesus was God. Jesus's will was separate from the Father's. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying till he was literally so stressed out. His sweat was turning to blood. He was breaking blood vessels. He was mixed with blood. Because I think he knew what was on the line if he didn't do what he knew that he needed to do. But he did it. Because he loves you. But he didn't have to do it. God commanded him, but God didn't push him. Jesus had to do it on his own. And he was in that garden of Gethsemane all alone. Next one, love isn't provoked. It's not touchy or fretful. The word provoke means to anger, to make extremely angry, to exasperate. God's love towards me, he doesn't provoke me. Some synonyms, angered, offended, bothered, get on one's nerves, get under one's skin. Has anybody ever gotten under your skin before? Anybody gotten on your nerves a little lately? I'm so glad that I'll never get on God's nerves. Even when I might do something stupid, and he might know that he's told me time and, Gene, come on. I'm not going to get on his nerves because that's not what love does. Love isn't provoked. It's just not who he is. It's not in him. God didn't go wrong when things went wrong. And he still doesn't. I'm so glad that God didn't go wrong when things went wrong. Who knows? Back in the Garden of Eden, he had the plan and already, boom, they messed it up. But I'm so glad when the plan went awry, God didn't go crazy. He stuck with a plan. He knew it's going to be all right. So when God didn't go wrong when things went wrong, and he still doesn't, he is merciful to me. He forgives me. And not just me, you too. He's merciful to us. He forgives us. And when things go wrong and we don't do right or something happens, he just will never lose sight of his love for you and the way he sees you in him. And that's just the truth. He believes the best. We're going to get to that in a minute. So as we understand this is God's love towards us, this is how we're going to be able to love others. Praise God. It thinks no evil. Amplified. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Man, that's a big one, isn't it? Has anyone ever been done wrong before? This love doesn't take account of the evil done to it. I mean, you think about it. Remember when I was yet a sinner, but he wasn't holding that against us. He was rather making a plan to redeem us. Man. In the NIV, it says, keeps no record of wrongs. He believes the best about me. He sees me beyond my problems and my shortcomings to what I can be. He sees me in him. He sees you in him. See, sometimes we get so caught up on our shortcomings, we can't go anywhere. You got to look past those. Just come on, just get up and go. Don't let those shortcomings stop you. Just get up and go. We repent, we go on, we just get this thing. You know, practice. Practice makes perfect, right? We are practicing righteousness. Who knows when you practice something, why are you practicing it? Because you're not perfect at it yet. You're practicing it to get better. So why do we have to get so down on ourselves when we didn't do as good as we thought we should? Let's get up and continue to practice so we can get better. But see, too many times we'll get down on ourselves and all that self-pity stuff, and it gets us nowhere. So as we understand this is how God loves us, his love towards us, this is how we'll be able to love others. The next one, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, rather rejoices in the truth. In the Amplified, it says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God's not willing that any should perish. He does not rejoice when the wicked get what they deserve. Amen. He's not rejoicing when they, and that's why it's that flesh when something happens, you know, maybe someone did you wrong and then you find out something happened. You're like, well, they deserved it. Well, they got what they deserved. Lord Jesus, no. Thank God I didn't get what I deserved. I don't want other people to get what they deserve because we all deserve hell. This is how God loves me. This is his love to me. And as I abide in him, this is the love that flows out of me to others too. I don't have to work at it. I just abide in him. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. I mean, that is what happens. Now, does God want that? No. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to reap corruption. The next one, bears all things. In the Amplified, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. When Adam fell, God didn't. He bears up love. God is love, and he bears up under anything. I mean, here, God had the master plan, and here, look what happens to the first man. He messes the whole thing up. But God, he didn't fall when Adam did, praise God. And if you fall, God doesn't. Thank you, Jesus. When you fall, God doesn't. His love bears up under anything and everything. We can jump back up because God never fell apart when we fell. You can jump back up because God never fell when you fell. So jump back up and let's go on. And as we understand that, we won't fall apart over other people's mistakes. Has other people in your life ever made mistakes? Well, don't fall apart over their mistakes, just like we won't fall apart over our own mess ups. when we realize that God doesn't fall apart over them. My Lord, if he's not falling apart over them, I don't need to fall apart over them. Amen? Praise God. Believes all things. In the Amplified, it says, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. God is in faith about us. That is why we can have faith in him. Say, God's in faith over me. God's in faith concerning me. God's in faith concerning me. Praise God. He's seeing us more than conquerors. Even when we feel like a victim, he sees you more than a conqueror. That's what his love to you does. It believes the best about you. It believes the best. He's seeing us as if as more than conquerors, even if we're in the middle of acting like a victim. Now, you're not, if you're born again, you are not a victim. Now, you can act like a victim. You can look like a victim. You can walk like a victim. You can talk like a victim. But you are not a victim. You're a victor in Christ. Praise God. So we can put faith in others by our faith in God for them. You got to have faith for people. Believe the best. Have faith for them. Amen. God has faith for me. His love is full of faith for me. I'm going to be full of faith for other people too. I'm ever ready to believe the best of every person. The next one, hopes all things, Amplified. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. God can't lose hope in us because he is the God of all hope. He is the God of hope. There's no losing hope. He is hope. Romans 15:13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So if we understand this is how God is to us, we'll be able to be this way to others. Praise God. We're almost there. Endures all things, Amplified. And it endures everything without weakening. That's a big one. But here we're just going to say, God doesn't get worn out. People say, oh man, I'm just worn out. Let's not say that. God doesn't get worn out. He renews our strength to endure to the end. Hebrews 12:12, it says, therefore strengthen the hands that which hang down and the feeble knees. He's saying, come on, strengthen those hands. Let's go. Praise God. And then the last one, love never fails. In the Amplified, it says, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. In the Greek, that word fails means, another word, means to fall. So we can say love never falls. Love never fails. In the Greek, it means, that word fail means to fall. To fall, or here's another great one, to descend from a higher place to a lower place. Love never comes down. Love always stays up. Love's not going to come down to their level. Love will never lose its place. This is how God loves me. Love never fails. It never falls. It never descends. He stays in his place, and he is loving me all the way up to be with him, to stay abiding in him. Amen. That's what his love does. And I love this. Who knows that God's on the throne, and he doesn't fall off the throne when things go wrong. When things go wrong, God doesn't fall. Love never fails. Love doesn't fall. And then at the end in 1 Corinthians 13, after all that, it says a few things. And then at the very end, it says, I believe it's in verse 13, and it says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And see, and there it is. Now abide. Now abides. Abide in love. And so now when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, or if you hear 1 Corinthians 13, I just really believe tonight the Spirit of God was just wanting us to, what was that I said? He said, be set free. I believe this word is just helping. I believe every scripture, every word, it's just just breaking us free from that works mentality. 1 Corinthians 13, that's God's love to me. That's how he loves me. So let's look at 1 Corinthians now. That's how God loves me. Not like that's how I have to love you. This is how God loves me. So no more do we want to look at 1 Corinthians as something you need to work on. Rather, it's something you will grow in as you abide in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.